Fasting in Ramadan helps Muslims grow closer to God Almighty and seek His proximity. Muslims fast from early down to sunset every day throughout this month, and the fast requires Muslims to abstain from food, drink, material relations, and ill conduct during the fast. Fasting, which teaches how to control and discipline our desires, also makes us learn how to say no to things that are otherwise permissible and good but are forbidden during fasting. And this is why Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh recommended us to leave our carnal desires in this month, because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much in this whole month of Ramadan that man can easily quiet his or her bad habits, and that is a present from God. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha
Palestinian mosques.
Part 1.
The azan, the Islamic call to prayer, reverberates from mosques throughout the city of Gaza. 5 prayer times each and every day summon Allah's faithful servants. Since the period of the first Intifada in the year 2000, religious awakening has grown dramatically in the Gaza Strip. At that time, the number of mosques was estimated to be 500. Statistics 14 years later in 2014 show that this number has now doubled to nearly 1,000 mosques, which are attended by hundreds of thousands of Muslims both night and day.
And the teaching of the Muslims, they have the forgiveness, which they call it in Arabic, samah. So, to forgive someone, supposed to have love.
There is a striking image, which is evident in almost every Palestinian city. In the neighborhood of Zaytun in Gaza City, for example, you can see the Katib al-Wilaya Mosque, situated next to the Roman Orthodox Church, the Church of Porphyry. This living example, witnessed for centuries, proves that fraternity and tolerance between the Muslim and Christian communities is indeed possible, and how the fate of each community is linked to that of the other in the land of Palestine.
Christians and Muslims, we have to live together in love, because we are the creation of God and the God is one. So, special here in Gaza, Christians and Muslims are living in a very good relationship, very close relationship, because we are living as a family. We participate together, Christians and Muslims, in their festivities, in their social life, social events.
We all share the same concern for the martyrs and for the wounded. We suffer together, which prompts the Christian to host the Muslim and vice versa, so that we introduce to the whole world a demonstration of brotherhood between Muslims and Christians in Gaza and Palestine at large.
The fraternity among Muslim and Christian communities was also demonstrated when the ferocity of the most recent war, imposed by Israel on the Gaza Strip in 2014, escalated to an inhumane degree that shocked the world when the Israeli occupation army invaded border areas indiscriminately, killing men, women, and hundreds of children, and displacing thousands of ordinary citizens who were forced to seek asylum to safer shelters. Churches and Christian homes served as shelter for thousands of victims.
We refused to leave from the beginning. The Israelis dropped flyers from their planes asking us to leave, but we refused up until yesterday and the day before. All of Beit Hanun was flaring under phosphorus bombs emitting poisonous gas and the F-16s in the sky and tanks on the ground. We waited until daylight to leave while our house was destroyed. Allah grants victory to the resistance.
We accept the people in the church because we are very close in the area when they were hitting the Israeli army. We are very close to Shajaiya and Zaytun. We are in Zaytun. And so many people from Betlahia, Beit Hanun and Shajaiya, which they were supposed to leave their places, because it was hitting their places from the tanks. So they run to find a safe place. Safe place, it is the mosque or the church. A young father or a young woman carrying a baby on his hands or her hands, you cannot close your eyes. You heard speak and you have to apply. So this is the cause that we open the doors of the church and to accept the people.
The compassion and empathy did not stop at the churches hosting displaced persons, but even more was offered providing environments to Muslims to lead Islamic prayers in their churchyards.
During the Ramadan time, so this it was very difficult time for the people. It was the holy day of Al-Qadr, which they call it in Arabic, which supposed these people to pray during the night time. So the church respect everybody. So what we have done, we gave to them all the freedom, all the permission to pray down in the yard of the church without no comments.
Tragedy unites communities. The Israeli occupation forces were livid to discover this Muslim-Christian unity, so they decided to open fire on a church in an effort to spoil this rising affinity and sympathy under the false pretext that they observed rocket fire coming from the church grounds. This was a war on people, not a war on Hamas, by an entity which has a long history of massacring the innocent since 1946.
This situation explains the relationship between the Muslims and the Christians in the Gaza Strip as we share the same experience and sorrow together while we walk towards the liberation of our goods Jerusalem and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre.
Israel targeted places of worship and even schools, universities, hospitals and cemeteries with their attacks, gross violations of international law that reflects the moral depravity and severity of the Israeli occupation army and indirectly the complicity of Western nations, whose medias and governments widely ignored the deliberate targeting and bombing of churches and mosques in the Gaza Strip. In all, more than 200 mosques were blown up with debris raining down on the heads of innocent worshippers.
The Israeli occupation reduced 74 mosques to rubble, while 179 more were directly hit by this aggression. Several mosques were destroyed on top of the heads of worshippers, such as Al-Ghassam Mosque in Al-Nusayrat of Middle Governorate. They were killed while waiting for the dawn prayer service to begin.
Al-Ghassam Mosque in Nusayrat, also known as the Grand Mosque, used to be the largest mosque in the middle zone of Gaza, where it is densely populated, after an Israeli airstrike reduced it to dust. all that is recognizable now is the minaret. The claim that mosques were being used to harbor weapons and tunnels is unproven and denied by local residents.
The occupation army contacted us on Saturday, August the 8th. The caller introduced himself as Officer Musa, asking whether this was Yahya At-Tawil's house. My husband answered in the affirmative. The officer informed him that we have 5 minutes to evacuate, as they are intending to target Al-Qassam Mosque. The officer hung up and my husband rushed to inform the neighbors.
My mobile phone rang. Neighbors called to inform me the mosque was going to be bombed. Four young men were back there getting themselves ready for prayer inside the mosque. I don't know how I managed to flee the place.
We were 13 people. My husband quietly told us we have to evacuate as the Al-Qassam Mosque was going to be targeted. We dressed and went to my brother-in-law's house in this tower. The mosque was hit 3 minutes later.
I was escaping when just 3 to 40 meters behind me, they hit the place with another missile. The vicinity was covered with dust and smoke. It was horrifying. My neighbors and beloved ones were calling, asking where I was. I told them I was outside the mosque, but four young men were inside and I had no idea what happened to them.
In the early morning hours following the bombardment, two bodies were retrieved while the third, the body of my son Zodi, remained somewhere under the rubble. They searched for 3 days with an excavator but found nothing. The search was called off but resumed again after 60 days. The excavator operator came across my son Zodi's body then.
وتوقف البحث بعد ذلك وبعد ما يقارب الستين يوم رجع البحث مرة أخرى وهو بيشتغل.
He was next to them. We thought he was somewhere else. This means the young men were here. Two of them were recovered. One of whom was waiting here while another was hiding in the corner. We found him in this corner a month and a half later.
القرنة هذه يعني باقي لابد فيها بعد شهر ونص لقيناه في القرنة هذه.
The whole apartment underneath us sustained damages while the barrier between us and the mosque was removed. Our home and the shop sustained a great deal of damage.
The entire pulpit flew into the house. The electrical generator was this side, but ended up landing in Abu Zia family's grocery shop. Can you see this repair shop where the electrical generation entered? Can you see what the shop looks like now? A 60-kilo electrical generator flew to the shop.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamati.
Islamati.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station. Choo choo ka-choo, it's the Youth Station for you. I'm your humble co-host, Muzaffar Haider, and here in the studio we have with us...
This is Asma. I am going to be here again in Youth Station with Brother Muzaffar, which is so much of a pleasure, of course.
You know, one of the things that I find really strange about this world is, like, you don't know who somebody is. Like, you're right in front of me, sister.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You could be a serial killer for all I know.
Maybe. Who knows?
You know?
Yeah, who knows that? Everything is possible. We're studying something in literary criticism, which is very interesting. the idea of language as unreliable thing. And since language is unreliable, human beings are unreliable as well.
That's
because
really
they
scary.
Could change at every moment.
I don't know why
so
that really
scared
me.
So you cannot trust the words even. You cannot trust the words and you cannot trust human beings because human beings are in a state of active change. They would every time change. So you ask them something today, they would tell you some things in specific words. But then the same question, if you ask them tomorrow, they would answer you with different choice of words. So language is not reliable. Human beings are not reliable.
Body language is not reliable.
And nothing. Nothing. Human beings are in a state of always changing.
I had a friend called Kyle back in school. Mm-hmm. Kyle Riley, if you're listening, assalamu alaikum to you, man. He's gone to Japan now, so.
So?
He had Asperger's syndrome.
Oh.
Asperger's syndrome. So he was really socially awkward. Mm-hmm. To the point where if he went to a school assembly and the head teacher was talking, he would think that the head teacher is speaking directly to him and he'd just start talking back.
Okay.
And he couldn't recognize people's... I think he might get offended if I say all this about him, but I don't care. Kyle Riley, he was my best friend, but he was like such a golden person. Like he had such... A pure heart. Like he could not tell a lie. In our art class, this girl comes over and she was like, Muzaffar, what do you think of this? And she showed me a drawing and I was like, oh, it was awful. And I was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I think you can fix the shading over there a little bit. And
yeah,
I like the overall. Kyle comes along and he's just like, oh, that is awful. That is just dreadful. It would have been better if you've
so
never
honest.
Made it at all. If I was drawing that, I would screw it up into a piece. She'd spent hours on this, by the way, hours.
Oh
I would
God.
Screw it up, put it in the bin and just start again. And I
it
could see.
At least he's honest.
He was so like brutally honest, but I could see that like tears were swelling in her eyes.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like trying to nudge him to make him stop, but he wasn't stopping. He could not differentiate between if somebody's angry or happy.
Oh.
He didn't have that faculty.
Yeah, that would be so weird.
Yeah, yeah. So he kind of goes through life like that. He cannot tell if
so
you are...
So he could not understand
he didn't
the
know she was offended.
Feedbacks of other people.
No.
Oh,
he wouldn't understand
too
it.
That's too sad.
He was
too sad for him and the people around him.
I loved him because I knew that if I wanted an honest answer, he would just give it. He doesn't know how to do anything else. Your internal self should perfectly reflect your outward self, mm-hmm. right? And that is something that I feel it's an art that we've lost, you know, where we've learnt to wear these disguises and these masks to show people, for example, that I am religious or I'm not religious or I'm this or I'm that.
All the masks that we put on.
Yeah, we're always wearing
the
masks.
The super ego. But still, I do think, you know, some people intuitively has this talent to read people's thought. Let's just put it this way, but this is not... literally going to happen. What they're good at is to read people's eyes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a professor who used to say that people's eyes are a window to their heart. And that's very true, I guess. People's are actually lurking behind their eyes. They are hidden behind their eyes and behind their tongue, of course. Whatever you say and the way you're looking at other people is going to tell a lot about who you truly are.
Yeah. It is scary, though, because do you know my mom,
mm-hmm.
right? She's a teacher in the UK. So part of the training now is they teach you how to identify children who have been abused.
What good would that make?
Because so many children, and not physical violent abuse, you know the type of abuse I'm talking about, right? That abuse is so rampant now in the UK that teachers have to be given that kind of training. So, for example, my mum noticed that when, and these are very young children, when she went to the toilet or he went to the toilet, their behavior is different to other children. They'll look at the door, for example, or they will kind of close their body language or close. It's very sad, actually. It's really sad.
Really?
Do you know, when I came to Iran for the first time, I felt a tremendous relief and freedom, where if I saw a child, I could smile at the child, I could pat the child, I could touch the child's head. In the UK, I would never dare to do that. So that's the society I've come from, right? You don't know who's who. You might be your teacher, but they also might have the unthinkable intentions. America's very, very similar, if not worse, you know, where you have...
I never thought that would be such a common thing.
It's so common, sister. You have no idea how common it is. A lot of parents are choosing to homeschool their kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes the teachers are like that. And have you seen the movie Unbreakable?
No.
Okay, you'll really like that movie. But the hero in there has this gift where if he touches someone, he can tell what crimes they've done.
Oh.
He gets visions of their crimes. And the movie basically explores American society as it has become, where an ordinary middle-aged woman who might be the mother of three, she's actually stolen something from a jewelry store, where somebody who just looks like an ordinary person who you'd walk past in the street.
Would you like to have such a power?
Yes.
To take people's hand and understand who
they
are?
Yes, I would. Wouldn't you?
No.
I would. I wish I did have that power.
I'd rather not to know about people more and more.
But sister, you're going to be in danger. Constant danger.
No, see, not... To, okay, let's go for a break and then we'll be back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Yeah, so before we went to the break, we were talking about whether we would like to have this superpower where you can tell the kind of crimes that people have done when you meet them.
Yeah.
I said I would want to have that power. Sister said she wouldn't.
No, I'm the kind of a person that even if there is a notebook that telling all the secrets about you, and it's right in here, I wouldn't touch it. I'm not so inquisitive about to know about anyone.
Okay. Well, that would be invasion of privacy. That would be reading somebody's diary.
It's the same thing with taking people's hand and knowing more about them.
No, it's not.
Maybe...
No, no, sister, you already make judgments about people based on their appearance and the things that they
but
say.
But I do not bring my judgments into practice. I give them chance. I give them too much of chances to change that judgment that I have.
Yeah, but if your judgment was so accurate that you knew immediately whether somebody's good or bad, wouldn't that be a good thing? Like you could actually protect yourself. You could protect those who you care about.
We do that. We understand that. So as in talking, according to our cognition, we could recognize who's good and who's bad. Some of the people are so expert in putting masks on their face so that you feel like they're good people, but they're not. But most of the time, I guess, all my judgments turn out to be true. Like
mine too.
Like when I feel like somebody is not good, that person is not going to be good. So from the very first...
What judgment did you have about me?
Okay, let me just explain it. From the very first moment, I try to just avoid them more and more. Just intuitive feeling that I get from them makes me to avoid them.
Yeah, some people call them like, I just get bad vibes from that
exactly.
person. I just get bad vibes. Yeah.
So I guess we have that ability already.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's accurate.
Most of the time, at least, it turns out to be accurate. I don't know why, but for me, this is the case.
For me, it's that case. Maybe it's a literature thing.
Maybe.
Really, it might be something that we're hardwired to kind of... Because at the end of the day, life is a story and you're just trying to suss out which characters are which, right? So maybe it is something to do with that because lots of people don't have that.
Exactly. Yeah. When I see them, I just wonder, come on, you don't understand that such a thing exists?
Yeah. My wife has it about other women.
Because women are too powerful in that intuitive power of disguising.
I will tell her that you said that.
Trust her. Women are intuitively much more powerful than men, I suppose, in their sixth sense.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Not maybe,
because
for sure.
They have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be more because they need to protect themselves
exactly.
and stuff. And.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I guess even if I had the power, I wouldn't like to dig deep in people's soul because I don't like to see anything bad.
No, I would love that power.
No. I don't like to know more of bad things because what I know already is enough. And I guess that's the only thing that would help me have this insight that not all the people are good. That is enough.
Yeah, but you're going to find out anyway. On the Day of Judgment, literally everything's going to be revealed and you're going to be seeing everything. That's going to be a freaky day, by the way.
You see, I guess that's only God who can know your truth. The truth behind you and I still love you. It's only God who could do that. But for other people, if I know who truly my friends are, I may not cope up with them. I may not go on with them. You know what I mean? About the truth behind their personality.
Okay.
Isn't maybe that a good even thing? if they know something about me, maybe even them.
I mean, if people knew my reality, they probably wouldn't say salam to me in the street.
So I'm telling terrible. You, that's but, only God who could know who you truly are and at the same time loving you with his full heart. So it's good and it's not good. It's both. Some people like you would love to know more about people's bad attitude, about people's past, whatever they have done.
I just want to know if somebody's going to harm me or my family or the people I care about.
You
that's
would
all.
Get that.
No, not always. Sometimes you have people who are very close to you and they sting the most, right? And you don't know that until they sting.
Oh, what do you say if I tell you that? You knew it from the very first point, but you just did not believe in it because you love that person, because that person is too close
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, I agree. But so, it was still enough doubt to give you a plausible reason to deny it. You see, so
yeah,
if that doubt wasn't
love.
There, it's like you're already saying you already have this intuitive feeling
yeah.
about somebody and you know that that person's, you know, dodgy. If only we had enough conviction to follow that, because that would save us from so many issues in life. You have a new boss at work, for example, mm-hmm. and you have this feeling that they're manipulative. But you go ahead with it because the job is so great and stuff, and you do the job, and then you realize that, oh, this is...
But I would be cautious still. I'd be cautious about everything.
Yeah. I think, yeah, maybe.
So
yeah.
That's helping me already. That intuitive thing would mm. help me.
You're saying it's enough. You don't need to know more.
Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. I don't need to know more about human beings. I already know that human beings could go to different extreme of badness. But then I don't have to necessarily know that. This is going to be enough of initiation to know that somebody is capable of doing dangerous stuff. And I would still be cautious about those people. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, brother. And thank you, dear listeners. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you, dear youth, will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about this.
We'll discuss that, inshallah, in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio. For those who seek the truth.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering a dance and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, Shaykh Rouhani, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an ayah in the Quran. There are some misconceptions or misunderstandings about the meaning of this Quran and the concept. That is Surah An-Nisa, ayah 34, which starts with Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala An-Nisa. In fact, roughly, it could be translated as the men are the managers of the women. We can say, some people might say that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah says that men are the managers of the women. What is the main reason? And is there any continuation to this ayah? And what is the main content of ayah 34 of Surah An-Nisa?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you want to better understand this ayah, we have to understand the world view of Islam. Mm-hmm. Regarding the position and status of men and women in the family. According to the Islamic anthropology, since men and women are different in terms of creation, this difference in terms of creation, either physical and bodily differences, as well as spiritually and mentally differences, are there. Since we have two different creatures, as men and women, as mother and father, as brother and sister, as daughter and son, in a family, then of course the, let's say, conditions, characteristics, situations, environments for these two should be different. Because, for example, man is more powerful physically and he has to take the responsibilities more. In terms of, let's say, power of man.
Yes.
And then women and mother should live in a peaceful environment, and he should be provided with the things that she needs so that she would be able to train and to bring up the children in a peaceful, in a, let's say, a peaceful environment, in a peaceful way. With lots of, for example, love and mahabba and kindness and mercy to the children.
Yes.
So that's why this responsibility for mother is really, really significant. Then mother should not go out, should not work hard and difficulties in a challenging kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is not able to tolerate, to bear those kind of things, difficulties and hardships in those kind of environments.
Yes.
That is why it is the duty of father to go out and to work and to provide the family, the children, the mother with all the facilities they need.
Yes.
So why? Because the future of these children, future of this daughter and son that is going to be brought up by this mother is very much significant.
Yes.
Because they are the things that they are the children on which you invest the whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, you should have a very fruitful life. What is the fruit of this life is those children. So how can you bring up good children if you provide them with a peaceful kind of environment?
Yes.
With a peaceful house, with a peaceful family, and in a way that mother should express, mother must be able to express her love to the babies, to the children.
That's right.
So that in the future they will love each other, they will love mankind, they will care about others, they will love, for example, the other, let's say, friends of them. If they do not receive any, I mean the children, if the children do not receive any kind of kindness, compassion or, let's say, love and mahabba in their childhood, how can they in the future express any kind of love and mahabba to the others?
Mm-hmm.
How can you have a very peaceful, a very beautiful, a very merciful kind of society in the future? Then, of course, if you bring up your children in that kind of lovely environment, moment. Of course, in the future, your society will be full of love and mercy and kindness.
That's right.
And you have a very beautiful kind of society. Mm. Suppose that mother and father, both of them go outside and work hardly outside in the physical kind of hardships, facing physical hardships. Then when at the end of the day, when both of them came to the home,
yes,
none of them can tolerate the babies. None of them, yes, can tolerate the children. None of them will be able to express any kind of love, mm-hmm, and mercy and mahabba to the children. Then how? What kind of children, what kind of brutal, merciless, violent children they would be in the future?
Mm-hmm.
As we see, unfortunately, nowadays in the modern world, in the modern societies, yes, they themselves confirm and confess,
yeah,
that our children, our young generations are not caring about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
No one. You know, for example, there's a homeless person who is about to die. Tens of hundreds and thousands of people passing him. No one care about him.
Mm-hmm.
No one show any kind of expressing no kind of compassion, love and mercy and muhabba to that man because they didn't, yes, receive that.
Okay.
They are not trained. They are not brought up in that kind of society. No mother, no father, no, yes, brother, no sister, no aunt, no grandmother, grandfather. None of them were there in the childhood of this child to show him any kind of respect, any kind of, let's say, love and mahabba.
That's right.
That's why
so,
it is.
So this qawwamun ala nisa by rajal is, yeah, managing
life,
right,
in a, okay, way that they should have a very, let's say, supportive, or let's say, helpful kind of, mm-hmm, generation in the future. This is very much important.
Because some people might say that the rights of the women are violated in this ayah. No, it is not so.
It gives more responsibilities put more responsibilities on the shoulders of men.
Men, yes.
But at the same time, it doesn't mean that women has no responsibility. Mother,
yes,
has, again, a very significant, very important responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Both are there.
That's all right.
The media portrays Muslim women as oppressed. They are forced into praying five times a day, and subsequently they wear the veil, or as we Muslims call it, the hijab, which they are also forced to do, and they have silent voices. What a preposterous introduction! How can people judge these women? What a preposterous idea! It's ridiculous. The media portrays them as oppressed. Who gave the media the authority over Islam? All hijabi women do is practice their religion. It's not hurting anybody, it's not harming anybody, but yet ignorant people label them as outcasts. Do you know how hard it is to be a white rose in a bouquet of red roses? How hard it is to be the only one doing right in the midst of so many people who are doing wrong? To be the only one practicing your religion in loads of people who don't even have a religion. So what the media is saying is that anyone who is constantly praying is oppressed. Anyone who has God in their mind 24/7 is oppressed. And anyone who lives a life of solitude, alone, doesn't even look at men, is oppressed. Hold up. I haven't actually described a Muslim woman at all. I've actually described a nun. So now you're saying a nun is oppressed? No? Why is it okay for a nun to be covered from head to toe in order to devote herself to God, and she is noble and everyone respects her? When a Muslim woman does the same, they say she needs to be liberated. This is a double standard. So the next time you see a Muslim woman in school, in work, on the street, wherever, do not pity her. Do not look down on her. And most of all, do not think she is less privileged or has less freedom than you. Hijabi women are not caged. They're not repressed and they're not silent. In contrast, wearing hijab gives them a voice. It gives them an identity. And it makes them stand out. Think about that.
And in some parts of the ayah, you know, we can say that because the terms are also used that, for example, if the woman disobeys the men are obliged to do so and so and so.
It has different interpretations. You know,
yes,
we have to go to see that what kind of interpretation we can understand or we can accept from this ayah. But one point that I can mention here is that if we compare a pure Muslim society or Islamic society, mm-hmm, with a modern non-Islamic society, I am 100% sure that in this pure Muslim society, you may not find any homeless people. any poor people to the level that they were about to die and no one helped them. Because we have sadaqat, we have charities, we have nafaqat, we have all different kinds of means that all Muslims, even they themselves are poor, they will help, they will support each other, they will provide each other with facilities they need. But in modern societies, we do not see such kind of things. Mm-hmm. So that's why it seems that the model that Islam yes. tells us, the model of training or the yes. method of training that is mentioned in Islam is a better kind of yes. system, a better kind of method.
It is full of peace and full of reconciliation between yes, of course. The wife and husband and the children. Yes. All in all, we could say that the main pillar of the family is considered to be the men and the men of the society. Nowadays, some of the feminist movements are after, for example, the rights of the women. They believe that the women can do the same work or the workload as the men do. What do you think about that? I think this ayah helped them very much to be respected more, isn't it?
You know, that is not a good idea because look at the output or the outcome of these kind of ideas in the modern societies.
Yes.
Now, for example, in some of these modern societies, 90%, maybe 95% of women, they do not want to get married anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no any children. There's no yes. any new generation in these societies, you know.
Yes, yes.
The immigrants from Africa, from Asia, they are being replaced by the original people of these let's say, cities in the modern world. You know, this is because if you tell the women that you have to go work outside like men, of course they will be unable to yes. bring to give birth to the new children.
Mm-hmm.
They will never do that. Then what okay. will happen to you, to your society, to your nation?
Even the women are working more than men, you know.
Yeah, but, and also yeah, they are physically not yes. as powerful as men.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have lots of consequences for the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lots of consequences.
Particularly mentally, because they will be yes. disrespected, they will be misused, yes. they will be harassed in those environments. As you see, if you go to the statistics,
yes.
they see that in the army, in the offices, in the workplaces, how many numberless, let's say, ladies are disrespected, humiliated, misused, you know. These are the things that will happen. Then mentally also they will face lots of challenges and problems as well as physically. Then they will lose all the power to bring any kind of children.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much. As we said, the religion of Islam has emphasized very much on the solidarity of the family foundation, you know, the parents with the help of each other must establish a peaceful atmosphere for the growth of the children because yeah. these children mm-hmm. are going to be the next generation. They themselves are going to get married, become the parents. So all in all, when they say قَوَامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, this قَوَام is going and this power is going to be given to both men and women inside the family, and it is not over, we can say, anybody. And the managerial position and the custodianship of the families are given to the men to work outside, you know, to earn their living, and the women to take care of the affairs inside the house. Of course, in Islam, the women are also allowed to work outside,
exactly.
to be sociable to yeah, society exactly. and be active part of the society. But inside the house, the managerial position is given to the men. That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding Ayah 34 of Surah An-Nisa, Ayatul Ar-Rijal Qawwamuna ala An-Nisa. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان
كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, March 17th, 2024. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So, please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we are with you with many reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of the names that have sent us reception reports, which include Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Tarek from Bangladesh, and Thomas Mobius from Germany. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving QSL card from us. So, Rob Den Boer, Thomas and Tarek, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And from Pakistan, we've received an email from Malik Allah Bachaya Khokkar. And from Pakistan, we've received an email from Rafiullah Mandukhail, and from Germany, we've received an email from Thomas Mobius, which later during the program, I will read your great emails from around the world. Stay with us, please. Nature has always been inspiring for humans. For example, airplanes were inspired by the natural flying abilities of birds and bats. On the other hand, there is a group of people who have a mystic view toward the natural scenery, which they reflect them in their poems or literary pieces. Personally speaking, among the natural sciences, waterfall has always been attractive to many people, especially me. Just imagine roaring water flowing over a vertical drop or a series of steep drops and then at the end finding peace and calm. Great. I find it inspiring because in life, we find peace and calm after going through hardships and ups and downs. Oh, it's a little philosophical, I know. Anyway, today I'm going to talk about the tallest stair-like waterfall in the West Asia region, Piran Waterfall, which is located in Kermanshah province, Western Iran. Stay with us, please. I will talk about Piran Waterfall more. Welcome back. Before I read an email from Pakistan from Malik Allah Bachaya, I just wanted to talk about Piran Waterfall a little more. As you may know, Piran Waterfall is located in Sarpol-e-Zahab County, Kermanshah province in western Iran. This waterfall is one of the tallest waterfalls of Iran, which flows on a high wall and shows a very unique view. Piran Waterfall is a three-floor waterfall, with its two upper floors being very tall and the lower floor, which is shorter. The third floor of the waterfall is located below the trees and is not visible from above. The total height of the cascade from the top of the cliffs to the lowest point of the third floor is about 150 meters, and that's great. Okay, let's see what Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan says. He says, for over a century, radio has been an essential source of information, entertainment, and companionship. From the crackling broadcast of yesteryears to the crystal clear transmissions of today, its evolution mirrors our own journey through time. Yet, amidst the digital revolution, radio persists as a beacon of accessibility. Its simplicity transcends socioeconomic barriers, reaching remote villages and bustling cities alike. In regions where internet penetration is limited, radio remains a lifeline, delivering vital news, educational content, and cultural programs. Moreover, radio serves as a catalyst for change. It amplifies diverse voices, empowering marginalized communities to share their stories and advocate for their rights. Through citizen journalism and grassroots initiatives, radio galvanizes social movements and catalyzes progress. Let us reaffirm our commitment to this enduring medium. Let us recognize its power to inform, unite, and inspire. In an increasingly interconnected world, radio remains a testament to the enduring power of voice. Regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan, and many thanks for writing to us. Your description of radio was perfect, I think. Appreciations to you for that. So please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan, please write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So, I was talking about Piran Waterfall, which is located in Sarpol-e-Zahab County, Kermanshah province in western Iran. And as I said, this waterfall is one of the tallest waterfalls of Iran and is the tallest waterfall in West Asia region. The flora of this place is also unique. You may not believe. There is clean air, pure oxygen. And what a good feeling, we could have in that place. I wish you could visit Puran Waterfall and the regions around it. And, you know, you have to go to the bottom of the waterfall and enjoy the unique sound of the water, which is flowing from above. The region around the waterfall is also very stunning and so relaxing. It looks like paradise with a stir-like waterfall. Yes, it is. There are several routes to reach this waterfall. But remember one thing, dear listeners. Be there in Piran waterfall before the month of October, since after this time, after the month of October, it gets very cold in that place, and reaching this point becomes very difficult. So please be there around the region in waterfall, Piran waterfall, just before the month of October, because it becomes very cold and reaching the point becomes very difficult. And you have to keep in mind that in order to visit the mountain that the Piran waterfall flows from, you should be at the bottom of it, because the waterfall from above is not visible since the flora is thick. Great. And let's see what our listener from Germany says. Thomas Mobius from Germany, who is one of our regular listeners, says, "My name is Thomas Mobius and I'm writing to you from Germany. I received your program a few days ago. If it's possible, I would like to receive a QSL card. Many thanks and best regards from Germany. First of all, salam and warm greetings from Iran. I'm grateful to you for this email, Thomas Mobius from Germany. Of course, an EQSL or electronic QSL will soon be sent to you as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon." Welcome back. Let's see what our listener from Pakistan says. Rafiullah Mando Khail from Pakistan says, "Hello, IRIB team. Hope you're doing good. I am a journalist by profession at the moment, but literally, I have remained an international radio listener for almost 2 decades. Your radio team should feel proud of the excellent job you do. Keep up the noble job. I'm interested in the rich history, diverse culture, multicolor traditions and lifestyle of the indigenous communities in your country. I belong to a remote and hilly part of the country where people have little access to internet. So I prefer to post mail rather than an email, as I rarely check my emails due to non-availability of the internet facility. I humbly request you, please send me books, magazines, year planners and diary, etc., via post mail for my media office and library as well. I will be waiting anxiously to receive your valuable gifts. I will keep in touch with you in future. Regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Rafiullah Mandokhil from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to us and many thanks for your compliments, your support and your commitment to IRIB English Radio. And we are so happy to hear that you like our programs as you described our radio team, an excellent team. And you said that our radio team should feel proud of the excellent jobs we do. And you said, keep up the noble job. Thank you for your compliments. And it's good to hear that you are interested in Iran, its diverse culture, multicolor traditions, and their rich history and the lifestyle of the indigenous communities in Iran. Thank you for your compliments. We welcome your views about our programs, Rafiullah from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing to us. Of course, an electronic QSL will be sent to you. For the time being, please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to this email. Maybe in the future, we could be able to send you the mails as you've requested. Anyway, many thanks for writing to us. Write to Asunta and tell us your views about our programs. Appreciations to you again. Welcome back, and in this edition of Listeners Special, we talked about Piran Waterfall, which is located in western Iran in Kermanshah province. And Iran is the land of wonders and beauties, as I'll always say. But we have come to the end of this edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special program. But before saying goodbye, I just wanted to send my warm